Welcome everybody to worship here this morning. This morning's service will conclude with communion, and the offering this month is for the United Christian Broadcasters who publish the daily reading, The Word for Today, the new copy of that which will be available in a couple of weeks' time. The Thursday morning prayer meeting resumes this Thursday from 10 to 11 in the CrossLink Hall. Nominations are sought, as from today, through to Sunday the 25th, for names to go forward for election to the diaconate at our AGM on Tuesday the 11th of May at 7:30. Andrew Hamilton and Andrew Worth are the retiring deacons, and both are willing to stand for re-election should they be nominated. Nomination forms are available from me, and they must be completed and returned to me by the 25th at the latest. The new copy of the church directory will be available shortly after the AGM. If you would like your details included in it, please either email them to me direct or write them down on the paper on the table in the vestibule. Kevin has kindly updated printed sheets of details, which are also on the table, and can you please check to see that your details are correct if you haven't already done so. The closing date for inclusion to go into the new church directory is going to be Sunday the 25th of April. Thank you.
Just pause there just a moment, if you would. He's not expecting this, but I just wanted to say a big thank you to Mark for keeping in touch, as you know, every week, for a long time, over a year. Mark has faithfully done this for us. So could we just express our appreciation? You can get me back at another time, Mark, for that, but thank you. We appreciate things that are done once, things that are done regularly. And there's in a church family, it's important to honour one another. And speaking of honouring one another, we also have the responsibility, which we've not done for a while, which is to say happy birthday. I know it's going to be really difficult not to sing it, but we have two great men to wish happy birthday to. We've got Ian White at the back, for whom, as you know, uploads our service every week onto the internet, and it's wonderful the job he does. He tidies it up and gets the volume right and gets it all sorted. And we've got Philip here right in the middle, whose principal role is to keep Betty in order. I think that's... So you've got the hardest job, Philip. So it's nobody else's birthday today, is it? Anybody else miss... When's Colly's birthday?
Friday.
Friday. Oh, so we've got three then. So can you remember the words if you don't sing them? It's really surprising. So we've got Ian, Philip and Connie. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Ian, Philip and Connie. Happy birthday to you. Excellent. Excellent. What I'd like us to do now, a bit later on, we're going to be asking Connie and any other children that come to do an activity for which this next reading I'm going to read, keep your ears open in a moment. But what I'd like us to do at this point is just have a minute remembering Prince Philip. I think for many of us over the last couple of days, we've discovered a whole lot of things about his life and his faith that we didn't know. And it's important to honour those persons in our national life on these days. So we'll take a moment. In that time, I'm sure your thoughts will also go to others that have died. And as David is going to be bring us this wonderful word later on. Because of Jesus, we know that we will see Prince Philip again. You He's a man of great faith. And so let's just reflect for a minute on his continuing life, as well as the life of the past and those others that we think of at this time. I turned round to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash round his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his water was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. And coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we meet here today to worship you, to focus our eyes, our faith on you. You are the living one. And as we think of those who have died, who've fallen asleep in Christ, we rejoice that in you is life. Pray as we meet here together today, we will know your presence, understand more of the power of your resurrection, the difference it makes to all of us today, and to the world in which we live. Amen. So, we can sing songs today, except we can't sing. Now, a little bird told me, because I wasn't focusing on... oh, great, there's six at the front. Excellent, well done. A little bird told me last week that we had singers amongst us. And I know this is difficult, but it is an act of worship to honour and obey the rules of the land. And it's an act of worship to love one another by not singing over them. So the Father sings over us, but we don't sing over one another. Now, I know that's difficult and it's automatic, but if you can help one another, to help, we pray that we don't hit each other over the head if we are singing by mistake. But so as these songs come, enter into them in any way you can, but I ask you, don't sing, because for a time we can't. We rejoice when we can. Go outside afterwards, and if you want to, I've got a couple of copies of the service spare, take them with you and sing outside for all your worth. Okay? That's what we can do. So let's worship. Let's worship. You might want to speak a word to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that we know that you are risen. And I know during this week I've been singing "He is risen up" as I've been around my jobs in the home.
Thank you, Lord.
So we know that you are risen.
Thank you. Amen.
Situation on it.
knees shall bow and our tongues confess that Jesus Christ, you are Lord. May this be our daily worship at home, here, in the street, wherever we are. May we confess you as God to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen.
In church life, one of the great things to be able to do is to welcome people into membership. So, Tony and Shirley, could you come up to the front, please? I'm going to give you a microphone. My hands are well sanitized, so I'm not going to pass any germs on to you. But if one of you could hold the microphone. Stand, if you would, just up here, so people could see you. Take it steady. You're allowed to huddle in close because you're sharing the microphone. So stand next to a turn. That's right. You would do. Thank you. Now for this bit, you're allowed to take your masks off, guys, because you're now part of the service. So you can take them off. And so we can now, you can detach yourself, Tony. That's right. Your own. You can take your own. Take it off. Be free. No, there we are.
I don't want to be frightened, people.
No. We can see the smile now. That's what we need to see. So, Tony and Shirley have been coming here since the summer. And feel that this is the right place to be worshipping at this time. And we've said about being a time of new beginning. And you've heard me say this before, and I'll keep on saying it. We are no longer the same church that we were. I know that anyway, but we're no longer the same church. Whenever anybody comes into membership, we have become a different church. So Tony and Shirley, you don't have to fit in with this lot.
They are rough.
And they don't have to fit in with you. Together, we are a new church because you're coming into membership. And so we've got some questions that I'm going to ask you to give answers to. They have seen them in advance, so I haven't sprung these on them. And then I've got some questions for you as the congregation, as the church here to answer. So, in the name of our loving God, it is our joy to welcome Tony and Shirley into the membership of this church. They are committed to serving God in our church family and in the community of Paignton. Today, we acknowledge and thank God for that commitment. And as you know, they've already been serving us today by welcoming us today. So to the questions. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, your Creator and Redeemer, and the Sustainer of all things?
We do.
We do. This is the God in whom we trust.
Do you believe that God has led you to share in the worship, life, and witness of this local congregation?
We do.
We do. We thank God for the gift of fellowship.
Will you share with us the gifts God has given you, that together we may serve God in our local community and in the wider world?
We will.
All we have is given by God.
As members of a Baptist church, we covenant together as a community of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Baptized into his name, we share the joys and responsibilities of fellowship. We gather for worship and to discern the mind of Christ. Together we seek the kingdom of God through prayer, witness, and service. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, we seek to build one another up in love. Will you share with us in this common life and service? And will you walk together with us before God in ways that are known and yet to be made known?
We will. Thanks be to God.
Now it's your turn. And as I always say, Tony and Shirley, make sure that the members of the church answer these questions. They're up there on the screen. Do you welcome Tony and Shirley into the fellowship of this worshipping community?
We do. This is our joy and our calling.
God has given us the gift of this brother and sister, and through them has given us gifts to ministry in the life and witness of this congregation. Will you support each of them in Christian service and responsibilities of church membership?
We will. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray for them both and encourage them through hospitality, friendship, and prayer?
We will. In the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and in the name of Jesus Christ.
Wonderful. Right, we would normally at this point gather the deacons round, and we would lay hands on you and pray for you. But we're not going to do that. So I'm going to say a prayer, and then deacons or anyone else, just pray from where you are. You might want to stretch a hand out to symbolically say, yes, we're blessing you. So you can put that down there. You don't need to do that. I'll take that from you. Relax now. That's gone. You've got to be prayed for. This is a lovely thing to be. Loving God, we believe that you've guided Shirley and Tony to this church, and we rejoice in the covenant promises that we've made together. We pray that they may grow in grace, strengthen their faith and ours, and build up this community of your people, that together we may be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit upon Tony and Shirley, strengthen them for service, and make them more like Jesus. Through your grace, empower us all, that our life together might glorify you and witness to a needy world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Feel free to pray.
Lord, we thank you for Shirley and Tony. We thank you for their experience of your life and your love. We thank you that they have come to join with us, and we pray for a mutual broadening of our understanding of your love for each one of us. We thank you for them, and we pray that there will be a mutual blessing that will serve each one of us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Dear Lord, we thank you for Shirley and Tony, and that you've brought them to our church and helped to expand our church family. And we just ask you to help us all to make them feel extremely welcome, and to just help them settle in and become part of our church family as seamlessly and as easily as possible.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, your word teaches us that our church is made up of living stones.
Yeah,
and we thank you for these two new living stones to join us. We pray that this may result in a stronger building, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father, we are blessed as a church. By Tony and Shirley coming into membership, we pray that you will bless them, Lord. That you will guide us through your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we thank you for the gifts they bring to us now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Jackie, could you get a couple of packs for Izzy and Evie, please? I think that's all the children we had today. Right, Connie, I mentioned this earlier, and Evie and Izzy, I want you to do something different for us today. This is a... it's always optional, so don't feel you have to do this, but it's an act of worship, and you're going to help us in what you're going to do. Our focus today, as always really, but particularly today, is on Jesus. And I read at the beginning a passage from Revelation chapter 1 of the Jesus in heaven. And there's Bibles there. If you want to have a read of it, you can, because it might inspire you for what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to draw a picture of Jesus. In some ways, the most difficult task you could ask, but some ways the simplest. Now, it could be Jesus on the cross. It could be Jesus with Mary. It could be Jesus in heaven. It could be Jesus holding the children. Whatever you want to do. And what we'll do is, if you'd like to, once you've done them, we'll put them in the front here during our communion later on. But I'd just like you to help us see something more of Jesus. So there's extra paper if you need it. You can do as many as you like. Take as long as you like. But draw whatever you want to do as a picture of Jesus. Thank you. Joseph, can we have our Bible reading, please?
We're reading some selected verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I pass on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, although some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. But if you preach that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him. In fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. For only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all would be made alive, and each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, when he comes, those who belong to him. Now if there's no resurrection, what will happen to those who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I die every day. I mean that, brothers, just as surely as I glory over you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought for wild beasts in Ephesus, for merely human reasons, what have I gained if the dead are not raised? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Thanks be to God for his word.
Amen.
We're all different sizes, aren't we? Good morning, everyone. Very good that we can be back in church and worship the Lord together, isn't it? Hallelujah. Can you hear me on the shelf? Good. Back in the 1980s, when I lived in Derbyshire with Josie, I went to hear the testimony of an amazing man. Some of you may have heard about him, or even had the privilege of hearing him. His name was Fred Lemon. Fred had been a hardened criminal of the worst kind, about the time that the infamous Cray twins were terrorising the East End of London. Having been convicted of robbery with violence, Fred was incarcerated in Dartmoor Prison in the days when the most serious criminals were sent there. It was the culmination of a life of drinking, violence, mixing with bad friends, and criminal activity. On the 10th of August 1950, Fred was in his prison cell, finding sleep difficult on his prison bunk. When he stirred slightly, he found three men standing at the foot of his bed. Sitting bolt upright, he heard one of the men say, "Fred, this is Jesus," gesturing towards the man in the middle. In later years, Fred was to recount many times how Jesus explained he knew absolutely everything about Fred's life, but God was offering him forgiveness. First, though, Fred must drive hatred from his heart, he was told. Then the three figures disappeared. It wasn't until the following Christmas Day that Fred eventually repented and gave his life to the Lord, after he had finally acknowledged the hatred he had had in his heart for the prison officers. After his release, he went on to be a remarkable speaker and evangelist, speaking all over the country and also taking the gospel into many other prisons. There were numerous conversions during his ministry. Fred's life had turned around completely. He was convinced that his meeting with Jesus that night was just as real as Saul's experience on the Damascus Road. Now, you will have to make your own mind up about what exactly happened to Fred, whether he had a dream or a vision or an angelic visitation, I don't know. But I am convinced that accepting the risen Lord as his Saviour stemmed from that encounter. Now, Saul was public enemy number one, as far as the early church was concerned, the chief persecutor of the Christians. They all lived in fear of his name. But Saul met the risen Lord Jesus on the Damascus Road, and as a result, the chief enemy of the church became its chief advocate. Saul became St. Paul, as we know him, probably the world's greatest evangelist, and a theologian whose writings still give us tremendous help even today. All because of a life-changing encounter with a man who had died on a cross some time before. For the rest of his life, Paul continuously declared the truth of the resurrection. It coloured everything he said and everything he did. Ultimately, we believe he gave his life for the Lord, making the ultimate sacrifice. I titled this short sermon, "What if Christ has not been raised?" Paul writes to the Christians in Corinth, where confusion and uncertainty had arisen. Greek people, with their history of philosophy, they loved to discuss the latest ideas, whatever was in vogue at the time. We covered this during our recent series, which took us through the Acts of the Apostles. And it appears that the church in Corinth had become so unsettled by Greek speculation that it had failed to fully appreciate the message of Easter. Paul writes to remind them that the resurrection of Jesus is no matter for leisurely abstract argument. On the contrary, it is absolutely vital. Without the resurrection, Christian living is a nonsense. Do we need reminding of this? Perhaps you would say to me, "Of course not, David." But I suspect there are folk in churches who enjoy worship, fellowship with Christian friends, who happily go along with Jesus' teaching about how one should live one's life, loving one's neighbour, and so on, but become uncomfortable when anything supernatural is mentioned. So my question to you this morning is, do we know Jesus' living presence in our lives? Let's allow Paul's words to remind us how important, how pivotal the fact of the resurrection is to our faith. Looking first at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 14, Josie read earlier, "If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." That's strong stuff, isn't it? You have only to look at some of the examples of Paul's preaching to see how strongly he believed this. In Acts 17, for instance, when he appeared before the Areopagus in Athens to be quizzed by the philosophers there, something we were looking at just a few weeks ago, Paul says, "For God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed, that's Jesus. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead." That caused a great stir. Later, when he was brought before King Agrippa, as David Burroughs reminded us a couple of weeks ago, Paul declared, "I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Christ would suffer and, as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles." It was Paul's personal meeting with the risen Lord that had convinced him of the truth of this. And think about this. If Jesus was not raised as he said he would be, then his radical teaching, all the promises he made, the need to suffer hardships in this life, but the rewards waiting for us in heaven, all this is an illusion if Jesus just went out into everlasting darkness. Everything turns on who Jesus is. The risen, triumphant, everlasting Christ. That's the message we have to preach. The fact that Jesus was raised means that we can believe everything else that he said. Moving on to verse 17, we read, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. So, if Christ has not been raised, we are placing our hope and trust in nothing. And so, when we need to rely on that faith, put it into practice, we find nothing there. Like opening our purse and finding it empty. Not only that, Paul explains, but we are still in our sins, unforgiven. As Christians, we put our trust in something called atonement, which means that God has forgiven us our sins and accepted us because of what Jesus did by dying for us on a cross, taking upon himself the sins of the world. But you see, it is the resurrection which demonstrates God's acceptance of that atonement. A dead Christ couldn't deliver us from anything. Paul reinforces this in verse 19 when he says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. If Christian people seek to live their lives based on Jesus' teachings, obeying his commands, making sacrifices, seeing in the needs of others the opportunity to serve him, only to discover at the end of the day that they have been serving a dead Christ, they are indeed to be pitied. And the hope of eternal life with him in heaven would be an illusion. But I invite you to think about the distraught disciples the day after the crucifixion. They were gathered behind locked doors, grieving, dismayed, and confused. Their great hope seemed to have gone out of the window. They had no sense at all of deliverance from sin, redemption. Faith reached out empty hands to a Christ who lived in their memories only. All their experience over the last 3 years seemed to have been for nothing. Then Jesus came and stood amongst them. He was alive. The teaching stood. The vision was still there. Their memories refocused around a living Lord. Now everything made sense. In verses 20 to 22, Paul states, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. So, my friends, the events of Easter kindle joy in our hearts. He is risen. We can proclaim it from our experience. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Amen.
We are very reserved, aren't we? If we were in a different country or perhaps a different church, there would have been about 50 hallelujahs coming all the way through there. This is true. He is alive. Let's pray. Living Lord Jesus, help us keep our eyes fixed on you, our risen Saviour and Lord. Rejoicing daily in your resurrection, and that power that raised you from the dead is living in us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, Jesus' resurrection will mean something daily to us in our lives. and empower and motivate us to spread the news to everyone that we meet, that we come into contact with. In the powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And if there is anyone here who actually knows that they don't yet know the risen power of Jesus in their lives, then do speak to someone afterwards, David, myself, one of the deacons, anyone you trust, and say, pray with me, or I want to ask Jesus into my life in power, because I need the power of the risen Jesus in my life. Now, whether they're half finished or completely finished, would you like to show us your drawing? Izzy, do you want to show me what you've done? No, that's fine. I can see from here. Just show me. You don't have to show them. Just show me. So, with Izzy, we've got a green hill, and we've got three crosses, and we've got, is that thunder and lightning? Thunder coming down, the thunder clan. Because what happened on the cross? It thundered, didn't it? There was earthquakes and thunder. Evie, the sun shining on yours, but we've still got three crosses on a green hill. Isn't it interesting? Because on these pictures, Jesus is not visible. I asked you to draw a picture of Jesus, and he's not there, is he? Which is good, because you've drawn what happened. But as Leslie says, he's not on there anymore. So you've, in your pictures, have drawn the resurrection of Jesus, because you won't find him on those crosses. Let's have a look at what you've done, Connie. Can I have a look? Have a look. Okay. So we've got, again, a cross, which, again, is empty. There's no one there, is there? What's this here? Mary and God are there. So he's left the cross. What's this here? Jesus has looks a very lively Jesus to me, coming out of the tomb. But isn't it interesting that all of you have drawn an empty cross? And you can't have the resurrection without the death. Thank you so much. Isn't that interesting? And that's why we're coming now to communion. That a meal that proclaims the Lord's death until he comes. But until he comes, he's alive. So we've got both the same here. So thank you, children. Take them home with you. Let them fuel your prayers. You know, think, yes, he's alive. I can pray to him. So we have a table spread. Andrew, again, has spread this for us. And on behalf of the Lord, preparing a table. And if I could ask the stewards, because Andrew and Jonah Sheila are going to distribute the bread and the wine for us today. If you'd like to come and stand either side, that would be lovely. Jesus said these words that makes this connection between this meal and what we've been hearing from David. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So there's an invitation to everyone here to come to this table. Not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and you want to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you on the cross. Come and meet the risen Christ because we are his body. Let's pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the Apostle Paul that we've been hearing about, in that same letter to the Corinthians, he said this: "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it. And he said, 'This is my body. That is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray.
Lord Jesus, as we gather around your table again, we just say thank you for the sacrifice you made for us. You took our place upon the cross. You took the punishment we deserve upon yourself. You set us free from the grave, which we deserve. Jesus, this morning, as we take bread and wine, all we can do is just say thank you, because we wouldn't be here this morning for any other reason other than you paid our price. Jesus, receive our thanks today. Amen.
Amen. This table is open to everyone who wants to say thank you to Jesus. However young, however old, if you want to say thank you to him, then you're welcome to take part in this meal. We have the bread sitting on the cups of grape juice here that are going out. As you receive them, please eat the bread and then hold on to the cups. This bread, Jesus said, is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Take this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts with thanksgiving. It's good to have time, not to rush, isn't it? To remember Jesus. Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." So we drink together, remembering that we are one in him. Amen.
Amen.
Your death, O Lord, we commemorate. Your resurrection, we confess. Your final coming, we await. Glory be to you, O Christ. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son, and you brought us home, dying and living. Jesus declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you've set before us, So we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We finish our service with the song that obviously some of you know the words very well. I serve a risen Saviour. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. And as I said before, we may not be able to sing, but we can speak these words. So as the song is playing with others singing, if you want to speak the words out, then do speak them out. Let's say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. And may I ask you to leave your cups where they are. A wonderful little fairy.